Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to talk about this episode, Jesus with the man born blind. These words from this man: I was blind, but now I see. Dear friends, I think most of us have experienced a 3D movie. 3D movies are very special because they show the height and depth, the 3D imaging of the objects on the screen. We really gain a whole new perspective. But there's one important aspect that needs to be included when you go to a 3D movie. Don't forget it. Glasses. You got to have those glasses. If you don't have those glasses, what you see on the screen can be very disorienting. It can really set you off and even give you an upset stomach. The fish that is supposed to be going from left to right and up and down looks like a giant blob that's not doing anything. The objects that are supposed to, the purpose behind them is to show the depth and breadth of them. Sometimes in places they even have a movement out towards you. I've seen that in Disneyland and Disney World. All of a sudden, those objects, they don't have any kind of content. They're just out there. It's like staring into a screen that really doesn't have much to look at all. And if you have pulled those glasses up during a 3D movie, it is very unsettling. The stomach starts to churn. It's like being on a roller coaster and you can't get off. You just want that movie to get over with. If you don't have those glasses, it all makes sense. 3D movies are special and give depth, but you gotta have the right glasses. Well, I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but I was thinking about it as I read John chapter 9. The world that we live in, God would want us to have special glasses as we look about what he's done and who we are in his world's design, in his economy, in the plan that he's put together. Do you have spiritual glasses? Boy, I didn't look at these. I pulled these out of whoever's glasses these are. These are, wow. Woo. Spiritual glasses do two things that I want to talk about this morning, and we're going to see it in John chapter 9. Spiritual glasses, first of all, allow us to see the depth of our own sin and the depth of our own fallenness and how we make mistakes. Gosh, you might be sitting there thinking this morning, I don't want to wear those glasses. I want to wear glasses in which I can put on and I can see Ken's mistakes and Ken's sins and Linda's problems and mistakes. I don't want to put on glasses that show the depth of my sin and the depth of the problems that I have. Or maybe you're thinking this, I don't want to wear the glasses at all. I don't want to be reminded of the sin in the past, the guilt that I have, the problems that I've had. I'm pretty good. I have no problems at all. I'm perfect just the way that I am. I don't need glasses like that. Friends, the Pharisees in John chapter 9, you see, they didn't have spiritual glasses, spiritual eyesight. They thought that they were actually quite perfect and quite good. In the passage here, they say, we are good because we're disciples of Moses. We have lineage. And they're also very good at pointing out the mistakes and sins of others. Did you hear what they said in John chapter 9? Oh, he healed, that Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath. They violated section 7.A in the bylaws. And they are concerned about who sinned, whether it was the man born blind, whether it was his parents, whether it was somebody else. That's what happens, and this is the bad news this morning. I'm being very blatantly honest. When we wear spiritual glasses, it's crushing to us. It hurts because we realize how difficult we've been, how rude we've been to others, and it crushes us. It hurts. But there's good news. There always should be good news in church, shouldn't there? The other part of this, of wearing spiritual glasses, is that by wearing the glasses, we get to see the height and the grandeur of God's grace. It's beautiful. And it has depth and height and breadth. God's grace is dynamic and has many dimensions to it. Without glasses, grace is just an abstract thought. Something that we could look up on Wikipedia and have an intellectual thought and we could write it out and say, or have an acronym and put it out all together, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good acronym for grace. We could have an intellectual thought about grace, but it's an abstract thought. With spiritual glasses, we get to see the height and depth of God's love for us. Grace. The thought that we don't have to earn our way into God's graces and in His favor. It's the thought that God's worked it for us through His Son, Jesus, and we are simply His children. There you have it. And the sad part is that the Pharisees in John chapter 9, they don't have those glasses to see God's grace. We make fun of the Pharisees, but they're really to be pitied. All people who don't know grace are to be pitied because they have to work extra hard to gain God's favor. They have to climb up the ladder off the backs of other people to gain favor in God's sight. And the irony of John chapter 9 is this. The people who think they're seeing are blind, and the person who is blind, he's the one who's actually seeing. So we get back to that question, and there it is. Do you have your glasses? Do you have your spiritual sight? There are moments in time in the church's history, and I wanted to point out one example in which people did actually find those spiritual glasses and gain spiritual sight. And when they did, they oftentimes wrote hymns, and they oftentimes wrote poetry. And in their poetry and in their songs, you see the polarity. They see the depth of who they are and their sin, but you see this grandeur of grace that they finally realized in their life. Probably the greatest example is John Wesley, when he experienced this and gained spiritual sight. We know the story of John Wesley, that in his life he participated in slave trading. And in the hymn, Amazing Grace, we hear of the depth that happened in his life, of how sin took his life, how he was a wretch, how he was lost, and how he was blind. Because in his life, he never viewed slave trading as a problem. He never viewed taking and separating loved ones from their family members as a problem. He justified all the problems that he had done to other people, justified it. But in the hymn, Amazing Grace, you see the depths of his sin. But on the other side, we see the grandeur of grace in that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Wesley never considered grace before, never had time for it. It really wasn't a necessity. It wasn't until he finally sat down and had those glasses, he put them on, and he saw the polarity, how much of a sinner he was, and how awesome God's grace was. Dear friends, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of experiencing someone around you receiving a sense that they never had before. Has that ever happened to you? Now, in my own life, I've never experienced someone who gained their sight after being born blind or being blind for a long time. But I want to tell you this. I have experienced someone who had never ever heard anything before, and they gained the gift of hearing. And when that happens, and if you've ever experienced this, the person who receives that sense for the very first time is forever connected to the person who gave them that sense. They love and adore them. They will do anything for them. The time that this happened to me was on a mission trip to Guatemala. We took a group of about 10 people down to Guatemala City, and we were in the city for most of our time. And then we decided to go out to a rural village, people who had not interacted with many others for a long time. We set up a health clinic and also a vacation Bible study lesson and time with the children. We brought along with us someone who was an audiologist, and she happened to bring two advanced hearing aids in hopes that we would come across someone that would need hearing. And it just so happened in that village, there was a 12-year-old that had never heard anything before. Not our parents' voices, not music, nothing. And Chris was able to give that child the gift of hearing with a few tweaks with that hearing aid. And my observation with that moment was this. Forever, that child thought that Chris, this woman, that child thought that she was God. I am not kidding you. And that woman, that audiologist, Chris, was forever bonded to that little girl that received hearing. She talks about her, and she thinks about what she's doing and who she married. She thinks about going back and visiting this girl and seeing her all the time. See, a bond happened in that moment. And so it did in John chapter 9, with this man who received sight. The first thing that he does when he receives his sight, one of the first things, is he worships Jesus. This is a shocking word in the Bible. Circle it. Worships Jesus. The man born blind knew the rules about worship. He was raised in the Jewish faith. The rules of worship were very clear. Never worship another person. Absolutely not. First three commandments were very clear in the Jewish faith. Worship should only go to God alone. He also knew that worship should only happen in the temple. He knew these things. He was raised in the Jewish faith. Never should someone worship another human being. This was blasphemy. In fact, according to Jewish law and Pharisaical teaching, this was worthy of stoning someone to death. You shouldn't worship someone unless the person is God Himself. If all we had was John 9 in the Bible, we would know Jesus is God. He worships Jesus. That's startling. And perhaps that gives us a new idea about worship in our own life. Worship isn't about checking off that I came to church Sunday morning, I've done my routine, and I paid my dues. Worship is a 24/7 activity of bowing down and worshiping Jesus, recognizing that He has given us spiritual sight, our depths and our heights, amazing grace. You know, just as that little child adores Chris and thinks that she's God and heavenly has powers, that's the way we are to Jesus. Jesus has given each one of us sight, amazing sight. It's crushing, we see our sin, but we see the grandeur and the amazing grace that He gives to us. Let's follow the example of the blind man and worship Jesus, not just at 11 o'clock on Sundays, but every day of our lives. He's given us so much. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You for the gift of sight and what it means to see things in a whole new way. Lord, help us to use that sight so that we can claim that grace in our lives, that we can admit the depths of our sin, that we can trust You in all things. Lord, we thank You for this today. May we live a life of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.